Have your Bibles, look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're looking at enjoying the journey with the Lord as Israel enjoyed the journey in the wilderness and how they failed to enjoy it as they should have and walk with God. If a person is walking close with the Lord, they don't have to have boundary markers. They don't need visible things to show them where to stay within, because if you walk close to the Lord, God guides you. Israel followed the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and the Holy Spirit leads and guides us, and God guides us through His Word. He directs our lives by higher principle than just following commands. Deuteronomy 6, the command, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Most of you know in Matthew 22 that Jesus taught the first and great command is this commandment. And then He said the second is like unto it, that you are to love your neighbor as yourself. Now these things were not new to Israel. If you look back at the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, the Jews were taught to love the Lord with all their heart, and they were taught to love their neighbor. Leviticus 19 and verse 18 says, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." So God taught Israel to love their neighbor. He taught them to love the Lord. In Matthew 22, Jesus was teaching the leaders of Israel, the leaders of the Jewish religion, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all this crowd of Jewish people who knew very clearly what the Bible taught concerning this command. In chapter 22 and verse 34, He said, "But when the Pharisees had heard that He'd put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets." So Jesus speaking to people who understood the teaching of Scripture. The lawyer said to the Lord, "You've rightly said." And this is something he understood. In the book of Psalms, the Bible tells us that our steps are even guided by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord in Psalm 37:23. And in Psalm 119:105, the Bible speaks of the Word as the lamp for our feet and the light for our path. So we're looking at enjoying the journey with God. We've looked at the commandments that God gave to Israel as boundaries for them to stay within. And now this command, the New Testament command, the greatest command that comes from Deuteronomy for Israel, to love the Lord their God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength, all their being, and they are to love their neighbor as theirself. Jesus taught that if we love God, that we're to love Him with the kind of love He loves us with, sacrificial giving love, that highest form of love. We're to love our neighbor with that kind of love, and if we do that, we fulfill the law and the prophets. We fulfill what the Old Testament taught. And love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans chapter 13 tells us that. If we love God, and we love Him with a pure love, a total love, with all of our being, then we want to obey Him. We want to please Him. We want to do what is acceptable in His sight. And if we love Him, then we follow the commandments that He's given. If we love God, we won't worship idols. We won't have any other gods. We won't make graven images. We won't bow down to idols. We won't take God's name in vain if we love Him. And we'll set aside a day of worship for God if we love Him and want to obey Him. If we love our neighbor as ourself, then truly we'll treat our parents with respect if we love them. If we love our neighbors, we won't have to worry about murdering them or stealing from them, even if it's Pez candy, or committing adultery against them. And you see, love fulfills. If we love like we should, we won't steal from people. We won't lie about people. We won't bear false witness against people if we love them. And if we love them, we won't covet what they have. A key to understanding this whole thing is understanding what biblical love is. And we use the word love all the time. We say, I love everything. I love that song. I love that color. I love your hair. Oh, it just looks so good. I love your hair. You know, it just looks so nice. And in our English Bible, in 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible explains love, and our Bible uses the word charity. And charity is an English word that is a translation of the Greek word agape. It refers to the highest form of sacrificial giving love. And charity has lost its meaning over 400 years in the English language. Today, charity means you give away what you don't need. You give away what's worn out. You give away what you can't use yourself. Your leftover things. But that's not what the word charity means. The word charity means to give your very best. It means to give what's first. It means to give where you have to sacrifice in order to give. And therefore, that follows the biblical outline of why it's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because that's that agape love. It's not from the Greek language eros or erotic in English love. It's not the romantic love. It's the sacrificial giving for another's good. It's the kind of love God has for us that He gave His Son to die for us in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's a sacrificial gift for the good of other people. And God loves us and gives in that way. He loved us even while we were yet sinners. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that's the highest level of sacrificial love, to lay down your life for another. Now, we say we love everything. I've liked some cars and certain animals. Blue's my favorite color. But I try not to use the word love, but I'm sure I have on many occasions said I love that color, I love that dog, I love that that truck. But I don't mean the same thing in the same way as I would say I love my children. Today we said goodbye to our two daughters and our grandkids and our son-in-laws, and we said, bye, we love you, and we kissed them, you know. And certainly we mean a greater love for them than we do for material things. And that's important that people understand that and define that, because there are many people in the world that don't understand the difference. What they mean by love is, I love you because you please me. I love you because you do something that makes me happy or fulfills some need in my life, and so I love you in return for that. But that's not what the biblical love is. The biblical love is to sacrifice for another's well-being, for another's good, irregardless of what they return unto us in the same way. I love you and I show sacrifices for you. I do what is for your benefit. You work in actions that you do. You show your love. Now, it's important that we verbalize our love. It's important our children and our wife and our husband need to hear us say, I love you. We need that. It's an emotional thing. We need that. We need to be loved. And we need to hear people tell us they love us. But we also need them to show us that they love us by their actions. And if their actions and their verbalization don't match up, then we question whether they really love us or not. A lot of people say, I love you, but they'd stab you in the back for the first moment that they possibly could. That's not love, friends. That's not biblical love. And I don't know what kind of love that is, but it's what comes out of people's mouths. Maybe they even meant it at the moment that they said it, but they didn't have a real understanding of what biblical love was. We educate our children. We feed our children. We work for their behalf. We demonstrate love. I've often said that a parent's love is probably about the highest level of verbalization and visualization of love that we can manufacture, that we can show. We love our children enough to die for them, enough to sacrifice for them, enough to do anything we can, regardless of what they do for us in return. Love also needs to be expressed. We need to say, I love you, and we need to hear, I love you. Secondly, I think it's a lot easier for me to love God than it is for me to love my neighbor. I know what God has done for me. God reached down in the pit of sin and saved my wicked soul and cleansed me of all my sins and gave me a home in heaven. I love God. I'm thankful for what God has done for me. I'm thankful for the sacrifice Christ made for us all. And if I can think about it for just a moment, then I certainly will want to love the Lord. And I want to show that by giving Him my life and service. But it's a little harder to love our neighbor. What's even harder is to love those who are not lovely. To love those who don't love us back. To love those who are not demonstrating love to us. Look with me at 1 John chapter 4 in the New Testament. 1 John 4. I need some anti-fogging device on my glasses here. 1 John 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now look down at verse number 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now there comes the rub. God says, I not only want you to love me, I want you to love each other. In verse 19 through 21, we love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. But he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Now that's where the rub comes in. I was doing all right with God till He put that in there. I can't hate my brother or I don't love God. Because if I don't love my brother who I see, how do I love God that I've never seen? And that's where part of the problem comes in. It's pretty blunt. We can't hate our brother. If we do, we don't love God. Now, you know 1 Corinthians 13 defines what this type of love is, the agape love. We're not talking about just brotherly love, filio, where we get the English word Philadelphia. The city of Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. But if you go to Philadelphia, you better be careful at night. Out on some of those inner city streets. Everybody there don't love their brother. And we don't always love people as we should with the biblical form of love. I tell you what, ask and you shall receive. Lens, cleaning, wipe. Tola, limpia, lente. That's from Zeiss too, buddy. Zeiss is high dollar stuff. That's the people that make the glass for hospital, what's them things? Microscope. I want to say magnifying glass. Microscopes. They make rifle scopes. Cheapest Zeiss scope I ever seen is about $400. They on sale once in a while for like $399 or something, you know. Thank you very much. 1 Corinthians 13 defines this type of love. It is patient. Verse number 4 says it's long-suffering. Patient with people, it's hard to be patient with people. It's hard to be patient with people who irritate us, who wind our clock, who irritate us in their actions. But the Bible doesn't give us the out for all those things. It just says that we're supposed to be long-suffering. We're supposed to be patient. Then it says we're supposed to be kind. This love is kind. This love is a caring kind of love. It is content. It's not envious. It's not boastful. It's humble. It's not selfish. It's not easily provoked. Boy, you know, God, what do you expect of us? Perfection? We like to do these things and then say, well, we're just human. But there's a reason there in the Bible. This love doesn't assume evil, rejoices in good, not evil, bears all things, doesn't cut people off, believes the best, hopes the best, endures, conquers, because this love never fails or never ceases. So this kind of love has attributes. It has characteristics about it. And if we read 1 Corinthians 13 every once in a while, it'll put some limits on our life, just like the commandments that are boundaries. If we'll learn to love God with this kind of love and love our neighbor with that kind of love, then we'll enjoy our journey with God a whole lot more. Thirdly, the Jews that Jesus spoke to when He gave them that in Matthew chapter 22 had copies of Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, portions of Scripture written out, little pieces of Scripture. Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 22, Numbers 15, 37 through 41, Exodus 13, 1 through 10, and verse 11 through 16. They were copied on parchment and they were put into these little leather boxes called phylacteries. The Pharisees wore them. They strapped them around their head. They wore them up here as frontlets between their eyes. Or they put them around their wrist and carried them on their wrist like we would a watch today. And those scriptures went there to remind them constantly they were with them. And then they would put them on their doorpost in what were called mezuzahs. A little box that they would decorate and they would put it on their doorpost, and as they come into their house they'd reach up and touch it or they would kiss it. And that would remind them of the Word of God controlling their life and directing their life and guiding their life. And Deuteronomy says this was to be taught to their children when they walked along the way, when they sat down, and it was to be as frontlets between their eyes and it was to be on their doorposts of their houses. Jesus was saying to them, you know the commands. You know what the first and great commandment is, and He recited it to them. He said to them, you wear it. You touch it daily on your doorpost. You teach it to your children, but you don't live it. And that was the problem with the Jews of His day. If we love God with all our being, then we're going to look for ways that we can learn all we can about Him and how that we can obey Him and learn what pleases Him. We love what God loves. We hate what God hates. And do we show it? By reading and studying His Word and obeying what we learn. Loving God. Having a longing to be with Him. And to do what is acceptable in His sight. Last of all, we're also to love our neighbor. My friends, that is a major choice in our lives. If we love them or not, that's a choice. It has to be a choice. It has to be purposeful, intentional, and shown in the actions that we do. It's fine for us to say we love them, but do we show that we love them? It's measured by the love you have for yourself. You say, well, I don't know if I love myself. Well, you probably take pretty good care of yourself. You probably spend most of your money in taking care of yourself. Providing your home, providing your clothes. You bathe your body. You feed your body when you're hungry. You do things that please you and make life more enjoyable for yourself. We think a lot of ourselves. We love ourselves. We provide for ourselves. And Jesus said you measure your love for your neighbor by your love for yourself. Do we love men enough to seek their salvation? You know, I've often thought a good neighbor is somebody who stays on their side of the fence and is quiet and doesn't make any noise and doesn't cause me any problems, and you know, and we get along fine that way. You know, we see each other a couple times a year and we're, hey, neighbor, how you doing? You know. But am I doing anything to seek their salvation? It's one of the greatest ways we can show our love for God and love for them is to help them come to Christ and share the Lord with them. I think about the four men who brought the lame man to Jesus. Have you ever thought about maybe they walked a pretty good distance? Jesus was in a house and the news was spread abroad that he was here, and so these fellows went and got their friend that was on the pallet, and four of them carried him. I don't know how often you've ever carried another person, but people are heavy. A full-grown adult man, even if he was sick of palsy or paralyzed, there was a certain weight. There was a certain physical aspect to carrying this fella for the distance. And then when they got there, they couldn't get close to Jesus. It would have been very easy for us to just say, well, we can't get in. You know, let's just take him back home. And but instead, they went up on the roof of the house and they tore open the tiles, probably of the porch, and they let the man down where he would be near Jesus. And when Jesus, the Bible says, saw their faith, it was their actions, their love for their friend, their showing that love in a sacrificial act of duty that they did in bringing him to the Lord. Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. The people murmured, said, you know, only God can forgive sins. They're exactly right. Only God can forgive sins, and God was forgiving their sin right there on the spot. And so Jesus said to show them, he said, take up thy bed and walk, and the man was healed, and he took up his bed, and he went home. Can you imagine when they were going home what they felt? You ever brought somebody to church and they got saved, and you go back home just excited, elated that you brought that person, that they got saved, that their decision was real, and you rejoice in seeing that. We ask ourselves, do we care enough for anyone to put forth that kind of effort to go and get them and pay a price of sacrifice to get them to come to church? Enjoying the journey, we need to love God in order to follow Him and to seek to stay close to Him. And the best way to follow Him is to know His Word and to be that kind of righteous person that God will guide your steps day in and day out. If we do that, the way will not always be easy. It will always be what our flesh would choose, because we choose the easiest way, not the hardship and the difficulty. But in that journey, God may place some people in your path that you can show love to. We're to love God and we're to love our neighbor. Well, then the question is, it came from the Jews, who is our neighbor? Who is it we have to show love to? And Jesus told them the story of the Good Samaritan. The point of that story is, it's not who do we have to love. Who is there out there with a need that we can show love to? The Samaritan put this man on his own animal and took him to the inn and paid the price for his care after the priest and the Levite had avoided him with his need. You see, the law could not help him, but grace could. And the Samaritan paid the price. Jesus paid the price for you and for me. He loved us enough to die for us. We've got to not get so caught up in living this life and in what we do for self that we forget about loving God and loving our neighbor and showing that love in the actions that we do. Let's stand together, please. Enjoying the journey. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your love and mercy to us. Thank you for this service tonight and the faithfulness of your people in being here. Ask you to bless this invitation. Help us to make decisions we should before we leave this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.